First Peter chapter 2. As we look at this rock, there's no getting around. First Peter chapter 2. Last week we looked at verse 6, which said, the last part of verse 6 was such a blessing to me. Well, the whole verse, where it says, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect. Thine elect, my servant, he said in Isaiah, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. What a thought. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. I want you to turn back to Matthew 20 and save 1 Peter 2 there. In Matthew chapter 20, Peter said, he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And Luke chapter 20. Forgive me. Luke chapter 20. I want you to see this. I made mention of it last week. But Luke chapter 20 is where our Lord talked about the stone which the builders rejected, talking about himself. Everybody's talking about this stone, aren't they? Isaiah's talking about it. Paul's talking about it. Peter's talking about it. Our Lord's talking about it. Yeah, this is where it all starts. And where it all rests. But our Lord said here in Luke 20, verse 17, he beheld the people and said, what is this then that is written, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? Yeah, he posed that question to them, didn't he? What is this? They didn't know. They had no idea. Well, he said, this is it. Verse 18. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. Peter said, he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Broken? Yeah. Confounded? No. But, he said, on whomsoever it shall fall on. Whosoever the stone falls on, grind them to powder. Nothing, dust. Who's he talking? What's he talking about? Talking about himself. Isn't it? He's talking about himself. What's he mean? Whosoever falleth on the stone shall be broken. Well, this is what Peter's saying. Whosoever believeth on him. On him. Turn back to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. Now, I'm not making a man an offender for a word. I'm not splitting hairs here. We're not. But you know, the salvation does depend on a word, doesn't it? Little words like, but. Or of. Faith of. Doesn't it? And so, I'm not, just being picky about words when I say this, that many believe in Jesus. Many believe in God. You've had people tell you that. I had a young woman tell me that one time. She's never worshipped God, and she never goes to a house of worship and doesn't read God's word. She's a profane woman, but she made it clear to me, oh, I believe in God. Yeah, but that's not salvation. Believe in God. You believe there's a God? James said, do you believe there's one God? You do well. There is. There is God. But the devil believes that and trembles. But whosoever believeth on him. In Matthew 7, look at it here. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone. Verse 22 says, many, our Lord says this, many will say unto me in that day, why, Lord, Lord. Now, listen carefully what they say. Because he also said, by man's words he'll be condemned or justified. Now, listen to what they say. Here's what they say to the Lord. Many will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Well, I was a preacher. And in thy name have cast out devil. Have we not, Lord? In thy name done many wonderful works. In the name of Jesus. And then he'll say to them, verse 23, I never knew you. I don't know you. I don't know you. I never knew you. Depart from me. But he said, Peter said, but he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Look up at verse 21 again. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, who will? All right, listen to this. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Does that mean that if they live good lives and they do work, live according to God's law, No. Listen to what our Lord said in John 6 on the Father's will. He that doeth the Father's will. Right? He said in John 6:40, this is the will of him that sent me, the Father's will. Listen. Now, everyone that doeth the will of the Father. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him shall have everlasting life. Seeth the Son and believeth on him. What does it mean to see the Son? Can you go outside during at noon and look into that sun in the sky? Anybody here do that? Have you ever walked outside and looked in at the sun? Huh? Have anybody? No, you can't do it. Don't say yes, I have. No, you can't. You glance at it, but you're not going to look in it. You're not going to gaze on the sun. No, you can't. You'll be blinded. You may have glanced at it, but you haven't gazed on it. Well, here's the point. See, that sun is just a ball of fire. It's a glorious thing. It's so glorious and so powerful, you can't look on it. Cannot look upon it. It's so glorious. It'll blind you. You'll see spots. Well, however, we've seen the sun. See, what I'm trying to say is if that ball of fire is so powerful and it'll consume you, the closer you get to it, it'll consume you. You can't look upon it any length of time at all. Flesh, it consumes flesh. Well, the Son of righteousness has arisen with healing in his wing, and we beheld his glory, and we hadn't looked on him fully, have we, huh? Oh, no, we'll see him someday as it is, but we're going to have eyes to do it with, so we can gaze on his face. He whose face is as the sun that shines in strength. But we have beheld his glory, haven't we? We've looked on the Son. And the Son we see is not this pitiful Jesus they're talking about.
I can look at Henry all day long.
Why?
He looks just like me.
Well, I'm sorry about that, Henry.
I didn't mean that. Forgive me, Roberta. But what I mean is, he's flesh. He's just a man. Nothing special about him. We're just worms. One worm can gaze on one worm as long as the disciples one day. You see, most people thought Jesus was just Jesus. Well, you're just a man. You make yourself God. Well, one day he took three choice disciples. Yes, choice. Chosen. Took three of his disciples up on a mountain. He said, "We're going to watch the sun rise. James, Peter, John, come on. You're coming up with me. You're going to see the sun rise." Well, Lord, we saw it this morning. Took them up on that mount and showed them his glory. Peeled back the veil. And they hit the dust. And God spoke out loud and the earth shook. And boy, they were And we thought you were just Jesus. Well, you're God, aren't you? Well, you're dwelling light which no man can approach unto, don't you? Well, you're a consuming fire, aren't you? You're glory, aren't you? Yeah. I'm just wearing this cover, this veil. You see? And everybody that seeth the Son. We've had a glimpse of His glory, haven't we? And the world at large out there, they see Jesus. Talking about Jesus. Reason we don't call Him Jesus, because we've seen the Son. You see? And believe on Him. They believe in Him. They believe He's a good man. He's a miracle worker. If you just believe in Jesus, your arthritis will go away. If you believe on Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, your sins will be gone away. Has a big difference. Arthritis will come back. And if this Jesus they believe in didn't actually do anything on that Calvary tree, your sins will come back to haunt you. But if you fall on Him for mercy, that's what believe on Him means. Believe on Him means cast yourself. It means to lay hold on the horns of the altar. Though He slay me, I'll trust Him. It means to lay hold on. It means lay your head, your hands on the head of the scapegoat. It means to look on Him. It means to fall on Him. It means to fall on your face at His feet and cry, ask Him for mercy, for grace, for salvation. That's what it means to believe on Him. See that? There's a difference in believing in the historical person named Jesus and falling on Him, casting your soul on Him. He that believeth on Him shall never be confounded. They'll be broken. Their hearts will be broken because of sin. They'll be brokenhearted over, oh, my sin, my sin, my sin. But they'll not be confounded in the end. They'll see their sins are put away. As soon as they lay hold on Him, He is made sin unto them. Their sins are transferred. You see that? As soon as you touch the scapegoat, your sins pass from you to Him. And He takes them. Simple illustration. You've heard. I believe in that seat right there. Do you? You see that seat? Everybody see the seat? Everybody sees the seat. It's a good seat, isn't it? A man-made seat. But it's a seat. It's a resting place, isn't it? It's a good seat. Looks like it's made out of wood. And I can go into great detail about the ingredients, you know, and what all it took and all that. I believe in it. See that? I can convince you, everyone in here, that this is a seat. You see that? Sarah, what is that? Say it loud. A seat, see? It's a seat. And I can convince everyone in here that, to some degree at least, that Christ is the resting place. Christ is God, and so on, from the Scripture. Now, here's believing on the seat. I believe in it. Yeah, it's a seat. I acknowledge it with my tongue. It's a seat. Now, if I'm tired,
oh, I'm going to faint. I've found this. I believe on the seat. You see. You believe on the seat? Huh? You believe on Christ? I believe Jesus lived and died and rose again. If you see you're about to faint, then I'm a goner. Lord, save me or I perish. I'm going down. My sin is over my head. Fall on the seat. The mercy seat. Rest, Christ. That's what Christ meant with, come unto me, all ye that labor. My sin, Lord, I can't get rid of it. Fall on the seat. The mercy seat. Lay hold on the seat. And he doesn't from that day forward say, oh, now your troubles are over. Now your sins are gone and you'll never sin again. No, he breaks your heart. And he keeps on breaking your heart. On whom you fall, if you fall on the rock, you'll break. You'll be broken. You'll be broken the rest of your days because of your sin. That's good. Why? It'll make you fly to the rock that is higher. It'll make you sit on the seat. Weariness makes you want to rest. None. Sin makes you want Christ. Now, we don't sin that grace may abound, but you understand. You understand. I hope you understand. Well, he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. He'll rest. You believe on him, cast your soul on him. Well, unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. He is so precious. Isn't a bed precious when you're sick? Huh? Yes, it is. When you're tired. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And unto whoever does, he is precious. Back in the text there. Now let's look at this and develop it a little bit, all right? Just a few minutes. I won't keep you. I've already preached the gospel. I've quit right now. The gospel's a person. Salvation is to come to Christ and cast your guilty soul on the sacrifice. And only he can make you come to him. Well, verse 4 in 1 Peter says, if you're chosen of God, Christ is chosen of God and precious. Verse 6 says, and we're chosen of God. Verse 5, you're a lively stone, so whoever believes, chosen by God. Verse 6 says, he's the chief cornerstone, elect, precious, 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 precious. Precious, 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 precious. Peter keeps saying that. Precious. You like the sound of that word? It just sounds precious. Now, we're not talking about precious in the sense of, well, you ladies look at those little babies and say, oh, isn't she precious? No. That's about the extent of how people think Jesus is precious. Isn't it? They look on that man, hang on, oh, it's so precious, and a baby, oh, precious. That's not it. The word precious, now, look in your, do you have a margin, a reference to that word precious in verse 7? It says, unto you, therefore, which believe, he is, what does it say? Somebody say it out loud that has it. A man. Say it, Henry.
Honor. He's an honor.
Big difference in looking a little precious, isn't it?
Honor.
An honor.
Well, look back at chapter 1, verse 7, where it says precious. It says, trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold. We're talking about faith being a precious thing.
I think you'll see why I went back there. See, faith, it's an honor bestowed on a few people to believe on Christ. It's a high honor. It's a gift. You see, faith is a gift from God. A great gift. A great gift. God honors faith. He honors with faith, and He honors faith. Faith is a great gift upon a few chosen individuals. The gift of faith. It's a gift more honorable than gold, Peter says. It's more honorable than gold. I have a golden ring on here, don't I? I wear it in honor of the woman I'm married to. See that? It's an honor to be married to this woman. Do you feel that way about your wife? Joe, what an honorable woman she is, and what an honor it is.
He that obtained a wife obtaineth favor from the Lord. Boy, we got a good one. Like Scott said, we outmarried ourselves. Plum outmarried ourselves.
It's an honor. You don't have to wear this ring. About tore my finger off a few times because of it, but it's an honor. It's an honor.
Well, faith is a much higher honor to have and to wear than gold.
If she dies before I do, I'm probably going to take the ring off. Eventually, women die. Wives die. Husbands die. They remarry. Right? Or vice versa.
But unto you, therefore, which believe, He's precious. This is something you never take off.
Christ is an honor. An honor. A rare gift bestowed upon a few whom He marries.
All that He marries, His bride, you see, He gives them a ring. What is it, faith? To wear. Faith. More. That shocked some of you when I said I'm going to take the ring off. I'll take it off eventually. What? Huh?
Sure we will. The guy that robs my grave will take it off. It's just a ring. It's just a symbol, right? That doesn't make me married.
Either any more than me getting, exercising faith, or that is getting in the baptismal pool, makes me saved, right? It's a symbol. But faith, that's a symbol of faith. This is a symbol of love. Honor. Well, the honor spoken of here is Christ Himself. Christ is our faith. He said, He's an honor. Highest honor bestowed on a human being. It's called an unspeakable gift, isn't it? Unspeakable. The highest honor bestowed on a human being is faith in Christ. Yeah, it is. And He gives this to those that need Him the most. The poor have the gospel preached unto them. The destitute. To be found in Christ is the highest honor known to man. To be accepted in Him, the beloved, is the highest honor known to man. To be with Him in glory someday, what an honor. I keep bringing up Mephibosheth, my favorite story. Mephibosheth, if David had only said, Mephibosheth, I'm going to spare you because I know Jonathan, your father. and had not invited him, had not fetched him. If he'd only said, Mephibosheth, I'm going to spare you, because I know your father. What an honor. Mercy. What an honor. He knows me through my father, Jonathan. Right? But what honor of honors. He said, Mephibosheth, I'm going to spare you, because I know your father, Jonathan. And Mephibosheth, I'm going to bring you to the house. I'm going to sit you beside me. You're going to be with me where I am to behold my glory. Now we're talking about what an honor. You see that? What an honor just to know the truth, just to have possession of this truth. What an honor to have a possession of this Bible. Everybody doesn't have it. I have it. What an honor. God's Word. The honor of honors is to have Him personally reveal it to me. And someday personally preach it. What an honor. You know, poor Christ is the honor. To be with Him. That's what I'm trying to say. To someday finally be with Him. Behold His glory. What an honor that will be. You know how pitiable people are all taken up with other human beings. You know of anybody? Perish the thought that anybody in here could be taken up with another worm and get excited about seeing another worm. Perish the thought that anybody in here would want the autograph of a worm, or want to shake their hands, or lie on the sidewalk all night so you can go see a worm. Perish the thought that anybody in here could be amazed by a worm. And that's all these people are. I mean, these so-called celebrities that people are all taken up with and amazed by, and so esteem is would be the highest honor on earth to shake the hand of Michael. Who? To go hear the Word or sit in the presence of Oprah? Who? Who is that anyway? But you know that people are taken up with that, aren't they? There's women who shook the hand of Elvis and hadn't washed it since. It's funny, isn't it? But it's so, isn't it? Can you imagine that? Surely nobody in here. Surely. That if, I don't, you name the most famous person in the world, if they were across the street right now, surely now, you wouldn't forsake coming here to hear about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to go see that worm. They ain't none of them worth crossing the street to see. I'm telling you the truth. They wouldn't give you a sweat off their backs. Would they? Christ gave us the blood of His veins. Didn't they? But people won't give Him the sweat off their back the time of day. Will they? What an honor. This way, I don't stand up. Steve, I don't stand up and say, thank you, Steve, for coming. Goodness gracious me. What blasphemy. Unto you, therefore, which believe, it's the highest honor on earth. He's an honor. Jesus Christ is the only person I'm amazed with. I'm serious. Only person whose hand I want to shake. I can't wait to shake His hand. In whose presence I want to be. To behold His doings. What have any of these people done? Huh? What has Jeff Gordon done? Goodness gracious.
What has he done?
Why, he goes around in a circle faster than anybody else.
Whoa. Think about how foolish men are. Think about how foolish they are.
I've got to shake his hand. Oh, if I could just shake his hand. I would be the highest honor on earth because he goes around a circle faster than anybody.
It's funny, isn't it? That's not God made foolish. The wisdom of this world, the honorable, that which highly esteemed among men is abomination to God. Jesus Christ
come down here as a holy man and lived 33 blood, sweat, and tear years. Don't even give him a thought. Not interested. But you, some of you, he stopped your wild career and opened your foolish dark eyes to behold his glory. What an honor. Huh? What an honor. You know, it might be an honor if the president would call me and send for me a limo and take me to the White House. It might. Some of you might feel honored. At this point, I wouldn't. But besides,
he's not there, is he? He's in court.
Well, what about the Queen? If the Queen called me, you know, it might. It would be a human honor. But she's a any with British ancestry in here. No, she's just a wrinkled old that wearing a little crown. No, it's not really any honor, you know. But my goodness, the King of Kings has called me by his grace, fetched me, sent for me. I'm going to be with him someday. Forever. Behold his glory. What an honor. See that? To you who believe. What an honor. What an honor. You see, he passed by the wise and the prudent. He passed by the mighty and the noble and revealed it unto. He takes old fishermen and fills them full of gold. He takes old truck drivers, fills them full of truth, so that they can confound the mighty. Huh? They take service station owners and makes them his servant. What an honor. Huh? Janitors, from janitors to sons of the king. From the beggars on the dunghill. Yes, that's me. You want to know my occupation when I'm out of this pulpit? I shovel manure. That's what I do. A lot of it. He takes beggars off a dunghill and sets them among princes. My, my. And another thing precious means is rare. Rare. And my. Look at that. Rare. Christ is, rare means one of a kind, doesn't it? Christ said, I'm the way. One of a kind. I'm the way. Nobody gets to God but by me. By me. Buddha. I watched a movie. We watched a movie about a Buddha the other day, and he was an unusual man. He was. He's just a man. Muhammad. You name all the Gandhi, you know. Gandhi was just a little fragile mystic. Gandhi. But now Jesus Christ. He's one of a kind. He said, nobody gets to God but by me. Nobody. Not Buddha. Not Muhammad. Not me. I'm the only way. I'm the way. I know I've told you this story, but I think I'll end it with this. Christ is rare. He's one
one of a kind, the only one of his kind. Rare, precious, honor, rare, one of a kind. No man gets to the Father but by me. Back in the Civil War, this is a true story. Back in the Civil War, there was a soldier in the Union Army whose mother was dying. His father had died years before he went to war, and now his mother was dying. He heard from someone. And he, back then, they wouldn't let you go home for anything. They just wouldn't let you go home. They needed every able body, you know. So he thought, if I can just get in to see Mr. Lincoln, if I can just get in to see the president, he can say so. He can send me home. And so somehow or another, he made his way to Washington. And he got to the White House, and his way was barred. Two soldiers. It's a true story. Two soldiers. And he poured out his heart, got to see the president, please. And they wouldn't know. You can't go. Nobody can see the president unless he's called for you. You can't get in to see him. No matter what he said, no avail. So those two fellas, they wouldn't let him in. Well, in a few minutes, a little boy walked in. He sat down on the curb there. Sat on the curb and was weeping. His head in his hands weeping. And a little boy walked up to him. A little boy. Walked up to him and said, sir, why are you crying? True story. Why are you crying? And he said, because my mother is dying at home. And I'm in the army and my mother's dying and they won't let me go home to see her. And I thought, if I can just get to see Mr. Lincoln, he'll let me. I believe he's a merciful man. He'll let me go home. And little boy said, but they won't let me. Little boy said, come with me. And the little boy walked up to the door, and the two soldiers stood silent, even saluted, opened the door for him. And the soldier was amazed. They opened the door, and he walked down the room, and there was another soldier there. He stepped aside in his Oval Office, and he opened the door for him like that, by the secretary. He walked in the Oval Office, and Mr. Lincoln said, well, Tad, son, it's good to see you. What do you need? Father, Dad, this soldier wants to talk to you.
No man, Christ said, cometh unto the Father but by me. But everybody that cometh unto the Father by him gets to see. The law won't let you, will it? Huh? Nothing will let you. It'll bar your way, but Christ will take you in and see the Father. What an honor. Huh? What an honor. He's the only one. The only one. All right, Joe, what hymn do you have picked out? 294.